1. I'm going to try to cover a whole bunch here in 20 minutes. And I think that if you got your Bible and you follow along and you listen and you do everything like that, then you're going to get something good out of it. I think so. Is there any good reason why that door back there keeps shutting? Does anybody know? The next time it shuts, will somebody just look real quick and make sure that we don't have people coming in here to kill us? I don't know where they could be going. They're not all joining the super church party unless the kids are just running out. On a real basic level, Christianity at its finest is when you know what God's Word says and you are affected by it. Okay? I want you to hear those two things. When you know what God's Word says and you're affected by it. And either one by itself aren't really good. But when you get both of those together and combine, there is great power and you are impacted and you are changed. And the God and Jesus in this world is mighty, 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 mighty. But it's got to be you knowing God's Word and being affected by it. Okay? When you leave here tonight, I want you to think, do I know God's Word and am I affected by it? Neither is terrible. Either one by itself isn't really that good. I'll give you two little illustrations that will point that out to you. I'm amazed. I'm about to turn 30 years old here really soon, and I'm amazed at how many people are in the ministry or have been in the ministry or went to Bible college or went to seminary or something like that. And not only have they stopped doing ministry, but they're kind of just falling away from the Lord. They may still claim Him, they may not, but there are a lot of people like that. When I was in college at North Greenville, a preacher came and he said, right now, write down your 10 best friends preparing for ministry with you. Write down your 10 best friends preparing for ministry with you. And 10 years from now, look how many are still in the ministry. And there are so many people not only leaving the ministry, but just who aren't really walking with the Lord like they used to be. And my point is that they know a lot. They have studied a lot. They've read all the books. They may have seminary degrees, but yet people don't continue walking with the Lord. One simple reason is to just know what this says is really not worth very much. To know the Bible back and forth, to know all the theology by itself, to not be impacted by it, affected by it, isn't worth very much. On the other hand, to be affected by something but not have any knowledge with it is also really, really dangerous. We don't want people who are very passionate for the Lord, but don't know Him and don't know Him well. That's also bad. Had a guy at college at North Greenville. It's not a Bible college, but it has a Bible program. So the people that are in the Bible program are kind of like a Bible college. And I had a guy who was my roommate for a little bit. He wasn't preparing for ministry at all. He wasn't a Bible major or anything like that. So unless he read his Bible on his own and went to church, he might not know anything. Well, one time, a bunch of us were hanging out over the weekend. Some friends had come up from Florida to visit. And one guy that had come with these friends was not a believer, and we knew that. And he really was opposed to Christianity, didn't want anything to do with Christianity, knew that he was coming to hang out with a bunch of Christians and even some preachers-to-be and things like that. But he was not a Christian. And I remember sitting in our living room. There was a bunch of us that lived in a duplex. I remember sitting in the living room watching TV on a Saturday morning or something like that. And my roommate and him, one of my roommates and him were talking. And I heard him say, so, hey, man, how long have you been a Christian? And his answer was, I'm not a Christian. And the guy that lives with me's answer was this. Oh, that's cool, man. Different strokes for different folks. And I thought, I'm sitting there watching TV and they're having this conversation behind me. I thought, what? Okay, that's cool. Different strokes for different folks. That this guy's lost, that he doesn't know Jesus, that he doesn't love Him, he's going to hell. And I thought, wow, he doesn't understand the Bible. He doesn't understand what he means when he says that he's a Christian. He's not understanding what it means to know God. But see, this guy who I was hanging out with, who's my friend, he was passionate about God. If there was some ministry to be done, he wanted to do it. He was wanting to talk to that guy about Christianity. He said, how long have you been a Christian? That was his conversation starter. And he had a lot of energy and effort to do things. And if I had said, hey, man, let's go downtown and talk to the homeless people, he'd been, all right, let's do it. He wanted to do a lot of things. But just didn't have a good understanding to go along with it. And I want you guys here to grasp tonight, and I ask you to turn with me to Luke chapter 1, knowing God through His Word and being affected by it. The fact that you're here at church means you probably know a little bit about God's Word. Maybe not a lot. You might not read your Bible that much. You may listen to sermons just really on a very shallow level, and you don't leave home with much. And by lunchtime, if somebody asked you what I preached on this morning, you didn't forget. I taught youth Sunday school this morning and asked the youth what I was preaching on this morning from what book, and they couldn't tell me. That's terrible. That's absolutely terrible that the youth don't know what book I'm preaching from by now. We've already been 4 weeks in 1 John. That's terrible. They don't come here with an expectancy. They don't come here ready to hear it and learn. And they should know better than that. But when you come here and you are taken in God's Word and you're affected by it, then wow, here's growth. Here's Christianity being lived out. Here's Jesus in us. All right? So we're at Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 39. This has Christmas all over it. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. It's a neat story. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And I love verse 43. "And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Tonight I want to make the connection of her believing it, and it was spoken from the Lord, to you knowing what was spoken from the Lord and being affected by it. Okay? I want to make that connection. I'm talking to you about knowing what God's Word says and you being affected by it. And here we see what God has said and a belief in it. Okay? How are y'all doing with the Advent? I mentioned it last week. Did anybody go home? Would anybody tell us? Has anybody gone home and even attempted to usher in Christmas, as I talked about last Sunday night? Has anybody been trying to do a family read the Bible or a sit around or a light a candle or sing a Christmas carol or anything? Has anybody attempted to do anything like that? Miss Shirley? It just means the coming. Yep. Real simple. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Right. Well, it doesn't have to be anything specific either. It can be anything. I'll tell you real quick what we did. We started this last year, and we're doing it again this year. And we started on December the 1st. We'll do it tonight before we put JJ down for bed. And this is the 6th, so this will be our 6th night of doing it. We have this little house thing that I've built, and it's got the number on every single day all the way up to the 25th. And what we sit down, and JJ knows so that he doesn't get out of control, and he knows the structure going down. He's going to hear the Bible, then we're going to pray, then we're going to sing a song from the hymnal, and then he gets to get his treat. Okay? And so I've got this thing sitting there. He looks at it. Looks like Christmas. Got all this stuff about it. I begin every time by saying, "JJ, Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming soon, JJ. It'll be here in 3 weeks. Christmas will be here." Well, what's Christmas? Christmas is when Jesus was born, and we celebrate that. Okay? And so then I open up a passage in the Bible, and it's just really simple. 2 nights ago, it was this passage, and I focused on this, that why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Elizabeth asks, why is Mary coming to me and she's the mother of my Lord and she's just found out that she's pregnant? Jesus in the flesh, the baby had not even been born yet. And Elizabeth says, "That's my Lord." This little baby that's being formed in your womb right now is my Lord. That is who I bow down to. As I talked about last Sunday, he's my king. We talked about that for literally a minute, you know, very, very short. And then I pray. I say, "JJ, let's pray." And then I'll pray about that. And we're all just sitting there on the couch. And JJ knows you don't move. You sit right there. Hold your horses. You know, you're going to get the candy in a second. Chill out right there while we do this. And he listens. We read the Bible. Talk to him about it for a minute. Then I pray. After I pray, Val's got the hymnal. She's already chosen a song like Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And we sing that song. And it's cool. JJ has just started to try to sing with us. He doesn't know any words or anything, but he's just going, ha, na, 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 na. He's doing that the whole time. He doesn't know what he's doing, but it's cool because he's trying to sing with us. And we have learned some songs like Jesus Loves Me where he'll say the right things. And it's cool because he's learning when to say Jesus and you know, different things like that. And then we'll sing a song and then we say, okay, now it's time for the Advent. And he gets to go and we say, JJ, this is the tonight will be the sixth. JJ, here's the sixth. So he'll find the one that has the six on it and we'll guide him to that. It has a star over it showing what day it is. And he'll lift open the door and inside of there is a little treat, which this year last year we did Cheerios. This year we're doing Skittles. He gets like two or three Skittles each night and he pulls those out of there and he gets all happy and he gets to eat those and he sits back down and he eats those and we talk. Christmas is coming, JJ. And literally with JJ being the age that he is, it's probably about 5 minutes to 10 minutes max. But every single day we are talking about Christmas is coming. And the next question is simply, well, what's Christmas? Christmas is that Jesus was born. And that means everything to us. And there's not a day that's going by in December that we're not thinking about that. Can't wait. This morning, I think he said it to somebody here, I think Val told me. This morning, JJ was saying Advent, Advent, Advent. And that means that Jesus is coming and he's looking forward to it and he likes it. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand that he realizes that only means he's getting a Skittle right now. But still the same thing is that he's learning that we are looking forward to Christmas. This matters to us. Okay? Well, I want to encourage y'all to try to do that sort of a thing. It's not too late. You don't have to do it every single day in December. Start tonight. Just pick these passages here in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2 and take a verse and stick with it. Okay? All right. Back to our passage, verse 39 through 45. Here's what you have. You've got Mary going to see Elizabeth. She enters the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And when she does, Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary. And when Mary spoke, Elizabeth's pregnant with John the Baptist. And when she speaks, the baby jumps. Then it says that Elizabeth's filled with the Holy Spirit. And she says these great words in verse 42. She exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women," she's talking to Mary, "and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Okay, she's blessed among women because God has chosen her out of every single person on earth to have Jesus through. Okay, that's why she's blessed among women. "And blessed is the fruit of your womb," because the fruit of the womb is going to be Jesus Christ himself, King of the universe. The incarnate word. God in the flesh is in this little young virgin Mary. Wow. Elizabeth says that while she's filled with the Holy Spirit, and that is no doubt stating the obvious. And then in verse 43, she says, "Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" This isn't a baby in a manger that they're calling Lord. You know, they bowed down to the baby in the manger too, which is a great sign of faith. This is a pregnant woman that has just gotten pregnant. She says, "That's my Lord. That is my Lord right there." Y'all, there's something different about Jesus. He's on a whole nother level. He's God. And she says in verse 44, "For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." As we're here at Christmas time, so many ideas or themes probably a better word. There's so many themes that can grip us. I want to mention four, okay? I want to mention joy. I want to mention giving. I want to mention family. And I want to mention Jesus. And there's so many. But I want to mention joy and giving and family and Jesus. All four are things that are emphasized at Christmas. Through commercials, through stores where we shop, through your own lives. Raise your hand if you have some sort of family Christmas. Some sort of, it's everybody. So you know what I mean by family. Okay? And I want to ask you tonight to be gripped this year more than you ever have by the idea of believing what Christmas is and then being affected by it, for it to be more. Through four areas: joy, giving, family, and Jesus. To believe what it is, to know what it is, to understand God's Word through it, and be affected by it. Last week I talked to you about Jesus being our King, that you're bowed down to Him. And what is it that you see in your lives that show you that you are bowed down to Him? I want us to think about the four areas that I've mentioned: joy, giving, family, and Jesus. The first, joy. We sing joy to the world, right? This morning, I don't know if you picked up on it, but I read in Psalm 4 as our call to worship this morning. It was verse 7, and it says, "You have given me more joy than they have when they have an abundance of wine and grain," which would mean that they have a lot of good stuff. But their possessions are good and plentiful, and it's good ones. This time of year is the time when we sing and speak that we have joy. We're supposed to have joy. But I want to ask you, according to what you believe and according to the season, is there joy in your life? And is there an abundance of joy so much that shows that this is the greatest holiday for you? That this is Christ? And then I want you to contrast your joy with the joy that is in the world. And I mentioned this in Prayer Partners this morning to us that were here praying. While this is the most wonderful time of the year, it is also a very, very horrible, difficult time of the year for so many people. Good people and bad people. Some people don't have a family. And so just by nature of us raising hand to say, do we have a family, they're reminded of that they don't. Some people don't have a family to get with. Some of us have a Christmas list of stuff that you want about this long. And some of us raise our kids to ask for every single thing in the book. And some of us, God forbid, will try to get them every single thing that they ask for. And yet there's other kids at their school who might not get anything, who might get one or two things. And yet perhaps we've impressed upon them that their Christmas wasn't as good as ours because I got anything I asked for. There's a lot of things that happen around Christmas time that diminish people's joy, cause their joy to be less. And I want to ask you this year, according to what you believe and knowing what real joy is, the joy comes from Christ, not from our stuff. Psalm 4 says, I got more joy than the people that have all the good stuff. And I want to ask you this year if you can focus on the Bible and be affected by it and have a real joy. And then through having a real joy, you're able to notice people who don't have joy and be more Christ-minded, be more others-minded. This morning I got emotional when I gave the example of perhaps paying for somebody's electricity bill during this time of year. Imagine the joy that must come from that, and imagine the lack of joy that they would have, and then the joy that they would have from you doing that. See, are you able to grasp in Christmas? Are you focused enough on Christmas? Do you understand what Christmas is from the Bible? And are you affected by it in a way that joy is blossoming in your mind even right now? Of what joy is and what joy is not. And whether you have the joy or whether you don't. What about giving? I'm amazed that this great phrase that is in the Bible, it's better to give than it is to receive, is used so much. They have this like on banners in the mall. Some say it's more blessed to give, and they're encouraging you to get stuff. Sometimes you'll see, well, it is blessed to give, but sometimes I want to get, and you'll see that too. And they want you to get stuff. But do you embrace that it's better to give? Is your list of what you want bigger than your list of what you can give to people? Has the Bible taught you that giving really is better? Are you excited right now because you're about to get this new awesome stuff at Christmas? Are you excited right now because you're about to give somebody this new awesome stuff? Do you read the Bible and are you affected by it? This morning, one of the tests was whether we know Him because we know how He walks. And if we don't know how He walks, we don't know the things that He said, then we can't even really test ourselves. And so do you know the Bible enough to be affected by it in the area of giving? One of the best things that we learn in the Bible about giving is learning how to give ourselves, give up our lives, give up our interests, and give up our time. Be giving people, giving, giving, giving. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son. And He's giving just what flows out of you. And here's the truth, and take it, because I know you're sitting here and it's hard to hear this type of stuff. If you want to leave out of here tonight and say, well, man, I understand about giving, but I want to get some stuff too. I'm saying you're wrong. Get some stuff if you want to. But you've got to embrace giving if you want to be like our Lord. If you want to get Christmas, understand what giving is. Know the Bible and be affected by it. It's unbelievable to me that we have Christian people around that are so wrapped up in giving. And that Christians' kids are so wrapped up in getting. What is that? That's not Christianity. That is not Christian. That is not Christian family. For our kids to be so into getting. What age is it where they totally get out of that? And I'm not off the wall here. I'm getting JJ presents. But do they not know what giving is? What about family? What do you do with family? This is hard because we have so much emotion in family. But when I start to think about family, I start to think about people. And I start to think about what is our role among people. And are we the type of people who are so geared to think, what about them? What about their faith? What about their eternity? What about their health? What about their relationship with Christ? What about their heart? What are they feeling right now? What are they going through right now? And am I going to waste this time with the family reunion and this get-together to let them know that I've got the King of Glory inside of me? Am I going to waste this time right now to explain to them where this joy comes from? Am I going to waste this time right now to show them that I really would rather give? How are you going to impact your family? How are you going to make the most of every opportunity with your family? Are you going to be a light among your family? Are you going to love your family? Do you know the Bible and all that it says about how we are to be lights and a witness and preach the gospel and understanding that the Bible says that faith comes through hearing? How many people in your family don't know? How many people in your family don't know that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13 you're to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith? And my family members and your family members need to examine themselves to see that they're in the faith. How many of your family members know that you're involved in a good church? You're going to take the opportunity of Christmas and all that you know about the Word and the preaching that you hear and that sort of thing and use the time with the family? Or are you going to say, well, my life's ineffective. The Bible doesn't affect me, so I'll go through an entire Christmas year, entire Christmas season, and be ineffective with it. Not have anything in me that lives outwardly. And then what about Christ? What about Jesus? What do you do with Jesus this time of year? Is it clear to you? See, Elizabeth says that that pregnant woman over there is carrying my Lord. There's somebody I bow down to in his life, and believe it or not, it's in that lady's womb. Will anybody know this Christmas that you have a Lord? Does the Bible affect you? Do you believe it? Because you cannot read the Bible and be amazed at Jesus coming. You cannot. Shepherds hurried there. They went with haste. The wise men came from afar. They got there to where Jesus was, and there's a baby, and they bow down to their faces. Well, guess what? It's not a baby in the manger. He's a risen Lord, crucified for our sins and now victorious over our sin, reigning next to the Father. If somebody gets to be around you this Christmas, would you please in some way let them know He is the glory glorious Lord, King over you. And you're so glad that they're in your home, and you're glad you could prepare a meal for them. But listen, I just want you to know that I love Jesus, and I believe that He's so real. And I read my Bible this morning, matter of fact. Can I tell you what I read? Because you read it and you're affected by it. This holiday here is our holiday. This is it. This is the holiday for us. Jesus is everywhere we turn. You'll see joy. You'll see it on commercials. You'll see giving. You'll see it in stores. You'll see family. You'll feel family. And you'll see Jesus everywhere you turn. Are you affected by it? Turn with me to Luke chapter 10 and we're done. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read you the parable of the Good Samaritan to see kind of glaringly, what I think is glaringly, this knowing the Bible and being affected by it. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a parable, and here it is. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, I want to pause for a second and say the parable now has set us up because now people are going to be faced with what they're going to do about that, right? Here's a man on the side of the road, stripped, robbed, beaten, left for dead. Okay? So the rest of the parable is going to be how were people affected by that? Okay? Listen, don't miss the point. You guys are faced with situations every day to which the question arises, how are you affected by that? Do y'all not run into scenarios and situations and scenes in Walmart and in the gas station and in your family? How are you affected by it? When you get the call that somebody's just found out that they've got cancer and they don't have long to live, what's being affected in you? What goes to your mind? What are you going to do about it? When you hear about the family in Fairdale, they don't have any money to do this Christmas. When you hear about the family that doesn't have any food for Christmas, how are you affected? I trust that here in the next month you hear about a family that's going through a divorce. It happens this time of year. There's so much pressure that goes along Christmas. How do you buy presents and meet the bills? If you're a family that lives from week to week, check to check, how do you also buy presents? Something's got to give, right? And this happens to families everywhere. And all of you know, if you're in a relationship, that what starts all the fights? Money. And there are so many people in our community that are about to go through it because of this awesome holiday season. It's hard. It's really, really hard. And how are you affected by it? Oh, if giving was so much on our hearts. So how are we affected? Here's a man that's been beaten and robbed and stripped and left for dead. Verse 31. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Do you think a priest knows that the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself? You think the priest knew that? Absolutely. Yeah, he knows the Bible. A priest knows that the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. Did he do it? No. Remember what I opened up with? Knowing the Bible and then also being affected by it? It doesn't matter if you in here know that Jesus is the reason for the season. It doesn't matter if you know that joy is what the season's all about. It doesn't matter if you know that Jesus says it's better to give than to get. If you're not affected by it, you know what? your Christmas is going to look just like your neighbor's. Your Christmas is going to look just like your neighbor's. And that's a shame. If Christmas to you is just like your lost neighbor's, wow. That's terrible. We're talking about our Lord coming to be born. Are you affected by it? Here's a priest that knows that the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. And he sees somebody left for dead, beaten on the side of the road. And he says, I'll hop to the other side. I ain't got time for that right now. What about the next guy? Verse 32. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Same thing. Person of prestige. Levites, those from the priestly line, the godly line, ineffected, passed by on the other side. Verse 33. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. There's a picture of being affected. He was affected by it. He was affected by it. It's the truth of God. And what you know about the Bible, and what you know about the Bible explains Christianity. There's so many things we could talk about, but four are joy, giving, family, and Jesus. And does all that you know about joy, and all that you know about giving, and all that you know about family, and all that you know about Jesus Christ Himself, does it affect you? Does compassion come out of your heart according to what you believe and what you know about those things? Or is your Christmas not going to be any different than the next person's? After he had compassion, you know what? He did something about it. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him. Whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Jesus says, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. This Christmas, I want you to be affected by what you know, because I know you know a lot. I know you know a lot. But I want us to be affected by it. Listen to this quote here from Tim Keller quoting C.S. Lewis. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. This is a great quote. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping your heart intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. What a quote. To love is to be vulnerable. And this Christmas year, if you're going to get Christmas, then you're going to be people who embrace themes like joy, giving, family, Jesus, and love. What that means is you're vulnerable. Compassion is going to happen. You're going to be affected by it. And you know what? If you spend $100 in this place to meet a huge need, you know what? You might not be able to get as many presents for yourself or for the next person. But you had compassion. The Word of God stirred in your heart. You were affected by something that matters. You know what? If you give up your time to go and serve somebody, another great theme at Christmas, you know what? You might not be able to watch as many great holiday games. You might not be able to eat as many holiday meals. But you were affected by the Word and proved to be the real thing. This Christmas, I pray that this Christmas, your Christmas is going to be a whole lot different. Because it's all about the right things. You're knowing what you believe. You're knowing what the Bible says. And you're affected by it. Let's pray together.